Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
With parliamentary procedures, somebody stood up and spoke out of order, and that's what got them both worked up. It's nerd fight.
It's also like lawyers approaching the bench about when and how you're expected, who's entitled to say what to a judge and when. It's like when I'm having my catcher's dialogue with the umpire,
yeah.
I know you're also a catcher, but don't interject. I'm setting the stage for trying to get calls and pull pitches for my team. It's your turn to shut up. Right now, when you've got the gear on, you can do your talking, not as a hitter. And there's all sorts of things where it's completely ridiculous, and I still understand it.
I do think it's somewhat ridiculous. I also think that Wilson did try to escalate it. That's fine. Just if you're going after guys, you have to understand that it's going to come back.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight brought. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Mike Florio's going to pop on at 10 o'clock. We've got the midday midway at 10:40. And Alex Cohen, the voice of the Iowa Cubs, has a lot of reporting to do for us. A lot of updating to tell us about that section of the Chicago Cubs that really matters in a way that it hasn't in a while because of who is on the way, who might be on the way, and who is surprising with their play right now. He's going to talk about all of that at 11, and we've got surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? You can to 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. Want to follow him? You can follow me at Dan_Bernstein. You also must download the radio.com app.
Kumar Rocker as a
dude.
Number one overall.
Dude.
I don't know when he wants to come out.
Get out the way.
Did you watch Vanderbilt starting pitcher in the College World Series against Michigan last night? He was terrific. He's the guy who had the no-hitter with the 19 strikeouts. You know, that guy.
Where he's screaming at people and
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, 6 1/3 and 11 Ks. Man, is he good. I hope they don't kill him.
I was going to say, there are some college coaches that would start him again tonight.
Yeah, ask Carlos Rodon about that.
Yep, I'm only half kidding that there are high school and college coaches with one horse like that.
Ask Carlos Rodon.
Trying to win
that.
A championship, they would send him right back out there. But you must download the radio.com app to stream the Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Brian Gertsch is here. He is commanding the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. I don't know exactly where the cameras are to wave to. I think it's that guy right there.
Yeah, it's that guy. See the big camera right there in the middle?
Kind of, yeah.
I just
didn't know which one he had on. We don't have a floor director here to tell us where
that's
to look.
That's true. We don't employ a floor director.
You do, however, have common sense.
Well, yes, but it's also there are lights.
There's a bright light
that's shining directly in my face that makes it nearly impossible to see anything in front of me.
That's
which
fair.
Is why I had to hold my hand up. Yeah. Our producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the Mexicutioner in the back doing what he does. He is Ray Diaz.
So, Adbear, just really soft on the tee. You know, you got to remind yourself that when you're approaching this name. Adbear Alzolay. Looked pretty damn good last night. I liked what happened. And I think I want to deal with, before we get to the botched base running and bad hitting against Max Fried, who's just terrific in two games against the Cubs so far this year, and kind of wasted opportunity and using Mike Montgomery way too long. Before we get to any of those things, let's rejoice in the fact that you had you have now successfully gone through the first 9 innings or so of a homegrown, self-developed, adapted, and injury-through starting pitcher in the Cubs organization. This guy has endured. He has gone through his, hopefully, his big injury. He has developed a changeup that looked much better than I thought it was going to be, even given reports of having a changeup that flashed like kind of plus. That's much better than I thought it was.
And the fastball's sitting around 95.
And that was good, other than that first one that was piped.
Yeah.
Don't throw that pitch. Don't put that ball there. But you now have somebody, and I find Adbert Alzolay pretty fascinating when it comes to see, that's what that name does to you.
It works like so hard.
It's the chain reaction. It's the opposite of Craig Kimbrel. You put him at the back end of the bullpen and it sets everybody in order. Doing Adbert Alzolay upsets the timing of every other word you're gonna speak in a sentence. That dude is gonna matter in that bullpen for them later on. He is let's look at it factually. Kelly Krull said it in transition. He's not going to be a starting pitcher for them for very much longer. The kid threw 87 pitches. That's one of his longest outings of the season. He worked around 80. Tommy Hotovy, the pitching coach of the Cubs,
he was clearly tired at the end, too. He was clearly losing it.
That's where he's at. If he stays in the big leagues, he's going to go into the bullpen, which puts you back with Kyle Hendricks, assuming he's healthy. That's fine. That's a weapon that can get used out of that bullpen. And if you look at, you know, that you usually get like one free move. You don't want to Joe Chamberlain the guy, but you get one free bullpen rotation kind of thing. That's a weapon. That's where he needs to be. That'll be real nice for them. There are a lot of questions still, though, after that loss to a damn good Braves team. There are a lot of questions about what they want to be and how they can get themselves to where they want to be. This whole offseason was urgency, urgency, urgency from everybody, not just the front office, but Joe adopted the message and so did the players in the clubhouse. What kind of urgency are you willing to show right now? You're 12-12 in June. Theo Epstein's 2 days removed from talking about how this is our doldrums. This is the rough stretch. We're not playing all that well. We're not locked in. And that's evidenced in a way too aggressive base running ploy by Javi Baez. Wilson Contreras reading it way too late. In case you missed it, with the bases loaded and just one out, Alzolay squares to bunt, which, fine, I guess. Javi takes off down the third baseline way too far, way too aggressively on a safety squeeze. Wilson Contreras reads the play way too late off second base and gets his butt thrown out at third. I mean, that's irresponsible stuff. That's far too aggressive with the pitcher up and an actual hitter coming up, somebody who can swing the bat in the nine spot. All of these things kind of combine to make me ask, how urgent do you want to be coming up here? Because you got a month until the trade deadline. You got a fingernail's lead on the NL Central and decisions to make.
And you're 14-18 in your last 32. They've been an ordinary baseball team. They've been fine. They won some games. They lost some games. They've had some really bad moments. Last night was a bad one.
Yeah.
Last night was kind of brutal, even though Alzolay was very strong.
You got to take a minute for that. Alzolay.
Alzolay. L-A-Y. Because that should be the phonetic Spanish pronunciation. Wouldn't be lay. It would be lie.
Well, there
lie.
You go.
Yep. So how do you manifest that kind of general managerial urgency? That can be a direct question to Jed Hoyer tomorrow when we talk to him at 11 o'clock. Because with all these moves, with all these possibilities, you have affecting a game managed by Joe Maddon, who's got to be in on all of these discussions. Like, here are these pieces. How do you plan to use them? Who do you foresee as your even or ahead guys? Because
right.
We know, I always compare the Joe Maddon circle of trust to the Fortnite storm. Because by the time you get to nut cutting time, that's a really, really small circle. You hope to expand it. It might have just gotten smaller because of circumstances in previous years. But win or lose, win a World Series or not, he tends to shrink that level of trust. So maybe this is the time where you're going to give more guys an opportunity to be in that circle.
One guy I would not be surprised to find in that circle, if not, you know, over the next couple of weeks, then down the road, is Adbert Alzolay. I thought he looked good, and I thought that stuff easily translates into the bullpen. Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, was on with Mully and Haw, with Kelly Krull sitting in for Mike Mulligan earlier this morning. And the pitching coach described a really cool rookie moment for Adbert in his first major league start. You will hear it when we come back after the update.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Segments brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running with live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Friday is Country Night, and Saturday is Bacon, Beer, and Bloodies.
Oh.
Need they say more? Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences.
What a trifecta.
How about that? Yeah,
bacon, beer, and bloodies?
On Saturday at Arlington. Pretty good.
If I'm out there, just spitballing here, I'm throwing a strip of bacon into the bloody.
Uh-huh.
You stir with that. You put that up against the pickle spear that you've got, also mm-hmm. probably in the bloody. That way the bacon doesn't completely crumble while you're stirring your Bloody Mary around. And then just a beer back, right? Like true Wisconsin style supper club Bloody Mary kind of thing. You get the little tiny beer.
Right, because a well done Bloody Mary can be a meal. That counts as a meal, and then the drink along with it is the beer back.
I'll even put a little bit of that beer back into the bloody if you do have the meal type bloody.
Yeah.
I'll throw just a little bit of beer in that just to thin it out a little bit, because otherwise that tomato juice gets so, it's thick,
mm-hmm.
and if you're looking to have three instead of just two, you might have to thin that tomato juice out. Just it's a pro tip.
It's a good tip
from those of us who day drink better than others.
Yeah, not my thing.
Not you have to, your
I,
game.
I defer to my partner on that.
Thank you, sir. So that's really the only thing. So as it was happening last night, Adbert Alzolay had a couple of cool moments, and one I thought was really impressive. I thought the most impressive moment for him last night was probably his worst one. He gives up the leadoff first pitch jack. And then got himself back together, retired, 12 of the next 13?
Yep.
And looked really in control. The stuff looked good. And I thought that a pitcher's ability, especially a kid's ability like that, to rebound from something that could have been traumatic is really impressive and important, especially if you're thinking about him having to go to the pen at some point to be useful for the Cubs down the stretch here. That's a real good quality to have. I guess it is in a pitcher regardless of when you're thrown in the ballgame, but Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, was on this on the morning show, Mully and Haw, with Kelly Kroll sitting in for Mike Mulligan, and he described a very cool bounce-back ability for Alzolay, which kind of dovetails into a really funny rookie story.
He's starting to learn no matter what. We know the stuff is there, that he can pitch at this level, mm-hmm. and he can pitch at a high level. I mean, this is the Braves aren't any joke of a lineup. They're really good, and they've been hot coming in, and he was able to pitch through some really good players. You know, it was cool to hear him talk about facing Freddie Freeman for the first time. And you know how guys that have been around baseball, especially a lot of the veteran pitchers, the way baseball is now with the way hitters swing first pitch of games, you'll see hitters swing after their team just had a 30-pitch inning and their two pitching changes, they'll come out and swing at the first pitch. So you'll hear guys like John and Cole and even a lot of the coaches talk about, man, back in the day, that was an automatic take that no one would ever swing. Well, Adbert gives up that first pitch homer last night and comes in and he's like, yeah, whatever. It's a norm now. That's what players are doing, and yeah. He's coming up in a time where that happened. So he comes in after giving up a homer, and he punched out Freddie Freeman, and we're talking through the inning, and he's like, oh, it was just cool facing Freddie Freeman. I always watch it. I like him a lot. I watch him all the time, and I got to strike him out. So, you know, he's such a he was in the moment. He was locked in, but he was also appreciative of, like, what he was doing and seeing. And he's like, yeah, he's only at the first pitch, a home run, whatever. I'm good, and I can keep rolling. So I think for him, it's just keep building off that. And then as we get through this week, we try to make a decision on what we want to do rotation-wise and where our thought process is with even guys coming back, like the Kyle Hendricks and Carl Edwards, as they're kind of starting to work back through their stuff as well.
So that's Tommy Hotovy, Cubs pitching coach, on with Mully and Haw this morning, talking about how Alzolay really enjoyed his strikeout of Freddie. That's just a cool, be in the moment, kid.
Yeah, but like, my favorite part of that is buried in there is a yet another old timer's lament about how these kids today, they swing at the first pitch.
They're hitting homers on everything.
They're supposed to be professional courtesy. Am I getting an automatic take and pouring that first fastball over? Oh, stop it.
Thank you, no. The Braves have one of the younger lineups in Major League Baseball, and they don't give a damn about your tradition, except for when they do, And then that's those are the Josh Donaldson and Brian McCann and a little bit of T-flow.
You want two examples, a launch angle there too, between Acuna and Albies. You talk about hitting the bottom third of the baseball and lifting it way up into
the
air.
So much fun.
Yep.
Both of those guys. I mean, that is a really fun baseball team. Dallas Keuchel for them today should be an interesting one, with Darvish looking for his first win. This season should be fun. We got a little breaking news, though. Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune, story beat writer for both sides of town. White Sox had a scare last night, to be sure. Tim Anderson went down after trying to make a play, after making a play, going to his left on a ground ball, threw it over to Jose Abreu at first, did get the out, but went down in a heap. Sullivan saying that the Sox are calling it a high ankle sprain for Tim Anderson. He is wearing a walking boot. That's Tim, not Sully. And he has not had an MRI yet. The IL stint is most likely for White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson, who is having a terrific season by all numbers.
High ankle sprain, NFL, usually means a month.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that myself. That is a long-term thing. I'm trying to think of the stresses that might be on that, that might be different in one sport or another. I mean, you listen.
That's a torn ligament. A high ankle sprain is a serious injury.
You would imagine. Well, no MRI yet, so we don't know the severity of what it could be. The placement certainly sucks for any kind of mobility for him.
I was wondering when he went down if, with his experience as a veteran competitive basketball player,
a really good basketball player.
Some guys have basketball ankles. Some guys have rolled those things over so many times that you get a laxity in there. This apparently not. You'd much rather have it lower than higher.
It didn't look like he rolled it. You know those typical, like, you come down on, so you're going up for a rebound.
Someone's foot.
Yeah, and then like Todd from accounting comes in there to try and vindicate being cut from the JV team or something. So he's sliding underneath of you as you're trying to grab a rebound. You come down on his old New Balance shoes and you roll yourself in or out on the ankle. It didn't look like it did that. It looked like he just kind of twisted around the ankle as opposed to rolling it one way or the other.
The Bloody Mary people are out, by the way, as you were talking and giving your Bloody Mary suggestions. No, it's saying that try the Clamato juice.
Oh, Clamato. Clamato juice.
The 847, a base of Guinness in your Bloody Mary will blow your mind.
Had that. Very solid stuff.
And the 608 says technically a beer back is called a snit.
Depends on where you are. Beer back, snit, sidecar in very specific portions of Wisconsin, but you got to be careful. Because if you order a sidecar,
that's a drink.
It's also, I didn't know that.
Sidecar is a specific supper club drink.
I didn't know that. That was a very drunk brunch for me.
And,
I did not see that coming.
Our guy Scott Lindholm is sending a picture of the official Traeger smoked Bloody Mary. That includes a half a chicken.
What?
Literally half of a roasted chicken, pickle, lemon, lime, celery, what appears to be bacon. Something else is stuck in that, and it's all shoved into a jar.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
What happened to the other half of the chicken?
I have seen a Bloody Mary with an entire cheeseburger attached to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Things get a little crazy.
This is gorgeous. Wow, that's impressive.
That's pretty good,
good
stuff.
Good work, Scott from Davenport. Top notch. We've got more from Tommy Hotovy when we come back. He talked about the troubles plaguing Jose Quintana, some interesting stuff from him and how the Cubs may set up their rotation. But I have a few questions for Cubs fans. How urgent do you think they need to be as they are right in the middle of their window of windows? They've got plenty of players for you, and yet this last stretch of baseball has been anything but urgent. We'll get to it when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
So it may not feel that way at the moment, but there are some really important decisions being laid out right now by the Cubs Brain Trust, and it filters all the way down to their coaching staff as they figure out the shape and scope of this roster, the bullpen back end about to change, figuring out who their starters are, how many they're going to have, when they're going to pitch. This, believe it or not, is a critical time for a team trying to figure out where it's headed and how it's headed there. They are in first place, and that's great, but they're 14-18 over their last 32. That's kind of mediocre. They've had their fits and starts. They have had their reasons for optimism, reasons for pessimism. And Tommy Hotovy was trying to give us some insight into how at least his part of it is figuring it out, the pitching infrastructure.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple of moves made to bring guys off the injured list, too. Carl Edwards is sitting there. Kyle Hendricks is there, of course. I don't know how you feel necessarily about Xavier Cedeño, but he's veteran and he's left-handed, and that's something that you don't have really in the bullpen. Kyle Ryan had a good stretch, and he has had a bad stretch. Brandon Morrow exists. He's not left-handed, but of course he exists, and while I don't believe him necessarily, he's Jupiter to me. He's there, and it sounds like the Cubs haven't completely ruled him out either. First thing they've got to get set, it seems to me, or at least in the most immediate future, is their rotation. And while Kyle Hendricks is obviously hurt and not in the immediate plans for return, it does sound like he could be coming back soon. Jose Quintana has been rough. It has been a rough, rough stretch for Q. He has had a very solid run of starts this season. Lately, though, not so good. Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy kind of described the issues at hand, at least as best he could, for Jose Quintana on the morning show with Molly and Haw earlier today.
One thing we've done kind of going forward, I'm pretty sure we've locked in our, we're going to set our rotation for Cincinnati, is we're trying to build in some extra days. We're trying to find times for our guys here who we also break to give them an extra day or two. So, one, we're giving him a few days. You know, his stuff, if you look at it on paper and you watch on TV, just can tell, it's just a tick short, and he'd be the first one to admit it. But one thing we've really focused on a lot this week is just getting his extension back. When he's right and he's locked in and feeling good, when I talk about extension, is just how he finishes toward the plate, and he really has that little, that extra 2 inches of finish. And to normal fans and everybody around there, an inch or two might not seem like a huge difference, but at 90, 91, when his fastball plays, has that little jump and that life to it, that extra 2 inches makes the whole difference in the world, and it's a little less time for the hitter to see it. So we've really been focused on that, getting extension back and focused on long toss. But then again, really focused on the changeup. Early in the season, his changeup was such a good weapon for him, and it worked, and it was working well, and it just kind of had tailed off the last few games. So focus on the changeup again and getting him back right. And mechanically sound, this guy is as good as it gets. His work ethic's great. His mechanics are great in the bullpens, but again, just getting that little extra extension, that finish that we want to see, and not that sometimes that recoil that you'll see if he's throwing a high fastball or trying to place a ball somewhere. So I'm expecting good things out of Q. He's going to have a couple extra days too, so he's going to be a little fresher as we head into the break. So I'm expecting good things out of him coming forward.
Get thee to Pitch Lab.
Yeah, it sounds that way. Got to get that change up back from where it was. We talked with Sahad of Sharma a little while ago about what that looked like. What it was for Q to have that change up and throwing it 24%, something like that. That's a big difference for him. There were strikeouts there.
Makes his fastball faster.
Feels that way. Feels that way. And when you've got a rotation that, on the whole, kind of lacks a big-time fastball, guy going today has one, but otherwise it's four dudes who get by with less than 95. Get by is kind of derogatory, but you know what I'm saying. They kind of live there.
That's right, though.
Yeah, it is a little bit. It sounds like he's going to build a couple of days, or the Cubs are going to build a couple of days heading around the All-Star break and maybe even into Cincinnati. Hotovy wouldn't tip his hand as to whether or not Q's next scheduled start might move a little bit, and that's a Chatwood day or something. I don't know. He didn't say that exactly, but is looking to grab an extra day or so on the schedule for Q, I would presume, as they go into and come out of that All-Star break.
His changeup percentage is slightly higher this year than his career percentage of 9.2%. He's using it this year at 10.6%. It's the slider at the expense of the fastball that's been the big difference, where his career rate of throwing that pitch is at 16.7%. That's up to 30%. Fastball, last year he threw it 50% of the time. That's down to 33.7. So I think it's finding the ideal mix and figuring out, this is back to tunneling, and this is back to what Hotovy believes in. And if you haven't heard the term pitch tunneling, what it means is throwing two pitches that stay in the same place in the eye of the hitter for as long as possible before one deviates from that. And that way you want two pitches. It can be fastball cutter. It can be fastball slider. There's no necessarily definitive mixture of pitches that can be tunneled, but it's critical in the eyes of many who coach this that you at least have to have something off the other one to keep a hitter uncertain.
Yeah, Al Zelaya I threw a couple that looked good like that. That changeup and slider worked to both sides of the plate against righties and lefties independently. So that's nice to have. That's kind of an example of tunneling there. I asked you, you know, what urgency looks like for Cubs fans at this point. And there's a couple of texts coming in. This one from the 312 saying, why is Joe hitting the pitcher eight? That's not urgent to me. I don't think it has anything to do. Hitting the pitcher eight doesn't have anything to do with urgency. That has everything to do with getting matchups for the right guys and getting yourself an opportunity, especially when you've got a situation like you did with Alzolay, where you know you're going to pinch hit. The guy's good for 85, 87 pitches. You know that going in because that's what he's thrown all season long. On the play where he squares to bunt, the base-running gaffe that cost the Cubs probably, well, a chance at two runs easily against a pitcher, Max Fried, who looked like he might have been just a little shaky early and really nailed things down afterward.
Yeah, I like watching him pitch.
He's good, man. He's really good.
Do you remember Floyd Bannister?
Vaguely.
Brian's father?
Yeah, Brian's dad.
Yeah, okay. See, when I see a tall lefty, just the way he sort of cranks into his delivery.
Oh, sure.
And he changes the tilt on that curveball. He gave you a flatter one, and then he gave you a looping one. I used to love Floyd Bannister, love watching him throw his curveball. And now what's funny is, now that he's talked with his son about all the... Because Brian Bannister is on the forefront of modern pitching, coaching, and analytics and all that. He's just brilliant. Always was, even as a player. But I heard Floyd in the book where Floyd says, had I known all this, I would have thrown my curve all the time.
Oh, man.
He said, it wasn't what you did. It wasn't what we were expected to do.
Right.
Remember what we were talking about during transition? About how the smart teams could look at all of their pitching prospects and say... Something you do to get you to this point is likely in the 90th percentile.
Yeah.
We are going to make sure you do that. It's your job to do that thing you're great at.
Do it more often.
Right. Yeah. Whatever you're doing, do it more often. Throw the bad stuff less. Throw the great stuff more. That was an example of that. When I saw Max Fried, the sort of gangly lefty and his old school windup reminds me of Floyd Bannister.
That gets to the Cubs a little bit, because if baseball is now do the things you're exceptional at more often as opposed to mixing in other things, they do stand as a team. They stand out as exceptional in a couple of different places. One of those places has been, up until this season, base running. Chris Bryant is exceptional. Javi Baez is exceptional as a base runner, though he does take some risks. And you know, yesterday, last night, you had a situation where you square around a bunt. I thought Joe in the postgame explained it pretty well. It's an opportunity for him to just kind of steal an at bat there and maybe, just maybe, get some contact and drive in a run. But on the other hand, Javi can't break away from third that much. Wilson Contreras has to pick up earlier than he did the fact that he's got to go to third base. And they both ran the Cubs out of a run there with two different outs on the base path.
It was awful. Everybody knew it was awful. And even if they could have challenged at third, I want him to wear it.
Wilson Contreras.
That's one where it's like, yeah, he might have been safe, and it's probably the right thing to do to challenge here. But you know what? It felt right to have to just wear that one. Just be out.
This is your hair shirt for the day.
Yes, exactly.
You will walk back to the dugout in shame.
I'm not sure. Even if you were safe, I'm not challenging. You go sit there, feel shame.
That was nonsense. Do your job better. And that's part of what Theo's talking about. It's not... There is an urgency in terms of front office. There's an urgency in terms of managing the long term. There is also urgency from the day to day. He's mentioned his team is not locked in. They've not played as clean as they need them to. That base running mistake is a huge part of it. Some of the defense is part of it. The at-bats have been fairly okay. But there are little issues here. There are issues from the peripheries that are going to cost you in an NL Central that might just get won by one game.
We are Bernstein and McKnight. We are on middays from 9 o'clock until noon, Monday through Friday. And if you know this show, you know Wednesdays at 10 means Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com. Robbie Gold might be newly available. We got clarification on the challenging of pass interference and all that stuff. He will get us updated on all things football next on The Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.